Well, greetings. It is good to see you this morning. We're glad you're here. I trust this morning that you come expecting a blessing, and thus far you have already been blessed. Can you give me a big old hearty amen this morning to pump me up? Can you give me a smile and show me all your teeth, whether they're yours or not? Amen. Good to see you in the house. Hey, you bought them. They're yours now. Amen. Boy, it's good to see you this morning. I'm glad you're here. It's good to see you Lebanese and those of you who want to be. Amen. All right. Listen, this morning you got your Bibles. We're going to turn over to the New Testament. We're going to be looking over at Luke chapter 15. I'll make reference to one verse. And guess what? This morning I'm going to read our text. Amen. Praise the Lord. We preached all around it last week. This week we're going to preach through it. Amen. It's good to see you this morning in God's house. You look good, good-looking crowd. And men, I'm going to just tell you right now, you better thank every lady in this church every chance you get, because they sure make you look good. Amen. Amen. This morning, we're going to look at something very special, as we always do in the Word of God. But this morning, we're going to look at Christmas for just a moment. I can recall 20-plus years ago, and I have a picture to prove it, and I wished I could have found it in time to have it displayed here this morning on the screen. One Christmas morning in our house, my brother Johnny, as you know, I've made mention of him before, and we got up one Christmas morning, and it was just one Christmas morning that, you know, those Christmas mornings, you probably, all of us probably got one we'll probably never forget. We hope it's on good terms. But my brother had received a gift that morning from my parents. I think more so from my mom, or at least I hope it was. But he got up that morning, and there's a picture of him as he opened one of his gifts under the Christmas tree. And little to his surprise, he opened it up and pulled that box up, and my mama was sitting there with her little 110 camera. I think that was the little flat one. And she took a picture of him because she was ready. She was waiting on this. I think her whole Christmas has led to this moment. And he opened that gift up, and he turned it around where mama could see it. He had this look just like this here. He said, and it was a baby doll. One of the ugliest baby dolls you ever seen in your life. And he was holding up by the head of her hair, like this here, with that look on his face just beyond. I wish we could have had that this morning. We'll recover that just for proof and put it up one day when we need it the most. And we'll do that at my brother's expense. But anyhow, basically what had happened was, my mother had bought that gift based upon watching his actions and his interest leading up to that Christmas morning. He had been messing around with his older sister, Amanda, her baby doll. He was hiding them and being, you know, kind of mean. Because I've told you, they got all those Johnny jokes from my brother. My mama said, well, I'm going to fix you, boy. What I'm going to do is I'm going to get you your own personal baby doll. And I think he may have called her Johnny yet or something like that. But he kept that little baby doll. But I'll tell you, that picture is worth a million words, I'll tell you. But see, the point is, he received a baby doll because he expressed his interest in one leading up to Christmas morning. Well, right now, this time of year, we ask this question. As you have bought some gifts and are buying some gifts, you are asking yourself this question many times. What do I buy someone who has everything? That's difficult, isn't it? Give me an amen. Can I get a witness? Amen. I'm going to tell you what, Christmas wouldn't be so tough if people didn't have Christmas all year long. I mean, you know, a lot of times we see something we want, we put it on layaway, we get it, we don't put it off for Christmas. So what do you buy someone? What do you give someone who has everything? Well, this morning, that's the title of our message this morning. But I want to go a step further. What do we get the one who has everything? Or this season, Jesus is the reason for the season. Amen? That we should say and that we should live. But this morning, Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, what do you give him who has everything? And this morning we're going to look at that. So let's explore that by the Word of God. And first, you're in Luke 15, but let me read a verse to you that comes just after this story in Luke 19:10. The Bible says that Jesus made this statement, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost." That's the reason he came. For the Son of Man came. He, in Philippians chapter 2, took himself, whom was equal with God the Father, put on servanthood and stood in the flesh and counted it not robbery, because he came to seek and save the lost. Now, just before this, in Luke 15, verse 1, look with me there this morning if you would. He makes this statement as he is there tending to Zacchaeus, who needed salvation, who not sat under his tree, but stood in his tree. But Luke 15, 1, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Verse 7, And I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Will you pray with me this morning? Father, we're so grateful and thankful for the Word of God. We're so thankful for the people of God. Lord, we're so thankful for the creation of God. This morning I stand here before these people, God, because you've called me and asked me to. So this morning, Father, I don't want to go another moment, another second. Not one fiber of my being do anything without you, Lord. So I want you, Lord, to preach through this vessel and use me this morning for your glory. And I ask this in the name above all names, Jesus, Emmanuel, who is God with us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This morning, what do you give someone who has everything? This morning, let's look at Jesus Christ in this text, and let's bring it up to speed. We're sitting here in the first three verses of Luke 15, and Jesus is here, and he is supposed to be a dignified man, a man who has been sent forth from God the Father, God of heaven, who the Pharisees and scribes know and know very well through the Scriptures, because they are Old Testament scholars. So they understand the Word of God and the concept of what's going on. But they're sitting there, and Jesus Christ is entertaining what we call the goat instead of entertaining the sheep. And these men are standing there, and they're looking down on Jesus, and they're making him less of a man because he has taken time to eat with these people who are lost and undone and sinful, where they declared that only you should be seen and be around them. You remember on the corner of that street when the Pharisee would stand there and pray that he not be like the publican. And he was high and mighty in his prayer. And God said he got his reward right there. But God also said the publican who looked down with downcast eyes and smote himself on the chest, he was very sorrowful and repentant. And God said he also got his reward, for it were not just there on that corner. But I will tell you this morning, that they were ridiculing him. And it was all because of his conduct and his concern over these sinful and lost people who were dying and going to a devil's hell. That's where they were headed. But he took time to eat with them and take time to be with them, that his life and what he had to offer may influence their life and their living. How would they ever know unless the life before? How will they ever taste and know the potency of the salt of the earth unless we flavor their life? So he went in spite of what they said. You know people like that this morning. There are people right now who on a scale would look less than you, who maybe does not dress as well as you do, who does not have the vocabulary and the education that you may have. But I'll tell you, friend, this morning, that makes them no less of a person. They are still God's creation, and we must handle that delicately, because many times we say, well, they're just all lost sinners. Who really cares? They're getting what they deserve. And the truth of the matter is, this morning, that body, that creation, has been hand-sculpted by the Father who formed you. They are important. And we find here that Jesus Christ said in Luke 19:10, you write it down and you remember it further than a week. He said, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost, not just seeking. Amen. Aren't you glad He didn't call the dogs off when they were searching for you? Amen. But He sought you and He bought you with His redeeming blood. And this morning we should have victory in Jesus because of that. But we see here where they are ridiculing Him, and He, I love Jesus. You know, sometimes we talk to people, sometimes they won't give us a straightforward answer. I will tell you, Jesus was one of the best about not giving a straightforward answer. Now listen, you'd be like, man, just tell me like it is. You know, the truth of the matter, we don't need to know exactly how it is. But He would go into a parable, a earthly story with a heavenly meaning, or an analogy, if you please, today in a lot of preaching, so they could help grasp and understand what it is He wanted them to realize and understand the kingdom of heaven and the importance of working for it today. And that He did in this parable. But look at this now in verse 4. We find the very first thing I want to point out this morning about Jesus and what He desires. Jesus seeks the lost. Jesus seeks the lost. Look in verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Now let's break this verse down for a minute. You've got it in front of you, amen? You look at this verse with me this morning. He is telling these men who are ridiculing Him, first and foremost, that I seek the lost. Well, think about this for a moment. Do you realize this morning that the 99 that are doing well are least important to the one who is not? Now, church, I want you to grasp this just for a moment. Let me tell you why a lot of lost souls are not being warned abroad. Because people who work and live in churches today, those who go out with the responsibility to tell lost people about Jesus, are so wrapped up and concerned in catering to the needs of the 99 that the one who has the most importance is being neglected. If you don't think churches ain't full of babies, you better open your eyes. And truth be known, if you don't think they're full of babies, that's because you cannot see yourself without a mirror. Amen? They are. But do you realize that it is more, people will cry more about not getting a visit from the pastor than they will a lost soul going to hell? Do you believe that? If you don't, I hope you're convinced by the time you leave here. That's just the truth. So Jesus said, what man who have 99 that are just and doing well won't leave and go after the one? You see, the 99 are safe because they're saved. But Jesus realizes the importance of the one who does not have that security and that safety. And He realizes right now, listen, in the time in which we live in a time of grace. Jesus said, and the verse is probably more looked over than any other verse because it follows one of the most important verses or one of the most popular verses in the Bible. John 3:17. He sent His Son, listen, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And we are people, men and women of God, who live in a time that we have received that grace of God. And that we are able to go out and not judge people. Don't judge people. Don't judge people. But go out and try to save people. and try to seek after them and seek after them and find them, that they be saved, because it's a time coming that there's going to be a great deal of judgment going on. And we live in a time where it's not, you know, it's save them. And don't judge them. And aren't you so glad that we live in that era where that we, as pioneers for Jesus Christ, can follow this pattern. But we see where it was so important for him to seek after the lost. Not only that, but look, there's an urgency going on. Looking for souls. It says here in the second part, look, if he lose one of them. You know what he's doing, church? Listen, you know what he's doing? He's saying that he's treating you like as if you were the only one who ever existed. That's how you're treated. That's how you look at. That's why I preach the way I preach. When I stand up here, my prayer every time on that front pew is, God, this may very well be my last chance to tell these people about you. And may I preach with the passion and the sincerity that this is it. Because only God knows if it is or is not. That is not for me. That is for him to decide. And whether it is my last sermon or your last chance to ever hear one, then let it be. And Jesus is teaching these people. He's telling them, let me tell you what is important to me. Let me tell you what would be the greatest gift that I could ever receive in the midst of all of heaven and all of glory. Is to go after that one. As if it were the only one. And I'm going to seek diligently with an urgency in my life and in my living. I'm going after that. The 99 are fine, but I'm going after that one. How many of you have children this morning? Raise your hand. Put them down. How many of you have more than one child? Raise your hand. Let me ask you a question this morning. Your children are doing fine. But when one of them gets sick, who do you pay more attention to? The one who's sick. Does that mean you love that one more than the other? Or they, you know they need you more importantly right now than any other time. You realize that this morning? It's the same way. Do you not realize that we are all the children of God? That we all are His creation? But it's just like children. Some. How many of you raise kids and they're out of the house now? Raise your hand. A young crowd. How many of them are living the way you want them to live right now? You got some children that are not living? How many of you got children right now that are not living up to the standards of this Bible? I mean, how many of them, leave your hands up if you'd like to see them change? Don't be ashamed. Well, here's the thing this morning. We're the same way. Those people who live in sin are still the children of God. It's just they are rebelling, and they're not living up to His standards. And yes, He is disappointed. And yes, He cares and loves for them just as much as He does me and you. But He realizes time is running out, and a day will come where the great shepherd will not cease. That which is done. That time's running out. Do you realize that? Do you realize that you're not always going to have the health you've got this morning? Even as frail as you may seem? And you realize there may come a time you're going to be bedridden or maybe in a wheelchair or just overcome with sickness to where you cannot get out and go to the house of God? God understands that, but is that the way you would have it to be? No. You make the best of the time that is given to you. And you treat today as if it were your last, but you also treat today as if you've got another 1,000 years to live. But God is expressing here through His Son, let's go after the Lord. That's what's important. And we also see that there's an endless thirst. Do you see the last part of verse 4? What does he say? Until he finds. I was 7 years old when he found me, and we could go around the room. But there are people who me and you have given up on. We don't pray for them no more, or we don't pray for them like we used to, because they have disappointed us beyond our belief. We don't call them like we used to. We do not treat them the same way we used to. That little baby girl that used to be your little baby girl, that little boy that used to be your little boy, you say, well, that's not them anymore. I'll tell you right now, a mother's love or a father's love should never give up on their kids. I know they may be done you wrong. They may be eat you almost out of house and home, barring the only time they call is when they need something. I'm going to tell you what, that's still your baby girl. That's still your little boy. That's still your brother. That's still your sister. That's still your daddy. That's still your mama. That's still your grandmother. That's still your grandfather. That's still your cousin. That's still your husband. She is still your wife. They're still your neighbor. Why is it that the Christians have to change and adapt to other people? No, sir. No, ma'am. Our standards are straight and narrow, and that's the road that's going to lead us on. Stop adapting to worldly wisdom. The reason this sheep was lost in the third place is because it got aimless and attracted to the world. That's what the world wilderness means. And you treat them the way you want to be treated as God has called us to do. But secondly, not only does he seek the lost, but Jesus saved the lost. Aren't you so glad that when y'all did cross roads, that he just said, well, oh, there he or she is, and left you there. He says, no, I'll save you. This morning, he says in verse 5, will you look with me? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder. Do you pay attention to the Word of God? Do you see shoulders is plural? That's both of them. That doesn't mean he threw you across your shoulder like a sack of potatoes on one shoulder. But the reason he can seek after you is because he's got an open heart. The reason he'll save you is because he's got open hands. You don't seek after people who are lost because you don't have an open heart. You won't save them or help them in a time of need because you don't have open hands. But see, what he does with an open heart, he searches diligently. And when he finds that sheep, with open hands, he picks that sheep up and across both shoulders, which means that he holds on with both hands, the front feet and the back feet, as Eastern shepherds customly did, and brings that. Now listen, he don't just save you, but he carries you. He doesn't just carry you to a place and leave you. He brings you back to the fold where it's. And by doing that, he displays that not only does he seek for the lost, but he saves the lost. Can I tell you something else this morning? No matter how dirty that sheep was, how many briar thickets it had already got caught into in this wilderness that we call world, no matter how many scrapes this sheep had, no matter how many bruises this sheep had, no matter the pain or the agony of the world that this sheep had been presented with, no matter how dirty or ugly that sheep may have looked because the coat was flat and it was dirty and stunk, but this shepherd picks that sheep up and puts him over his shoulder and embraces this filthy, dirty sheep and saved. And there are some of us who have got astray, as the psalmist said in 119. God, I have got astray as a sheep does, but I remember Your commandments. You don't have to be a lost and undone sinner this morning to be considered a sheep that is astray. Do you know that in Matthew 18, when He first gave this parable that He was talking to His disciples who were sheep, do you realize in Luke chapter 15, He presents this parable now a second time to the goat? He's presenting it before the saints. Sheep to us always just means someone who's saved. That you are His creation, but that does not mean you're saved. He not only seeks you, He not only saves you, but let me tell you what He does. He asks you to do one thing, and that is repent. See, what that sheep had to do when the shepherd came, wherever that sheep was found, which in people, that can be in all different places. It can be at the bottom of a bottle. It can be smoking crack cocaine. It can be running around with every man, woman that you find. It can be pornography. It can be all sorts of sin and wickedness. But I will tell you in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, He says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. We have to repent. That, you know what that means? Surrender. You know what that sheep had to do before it could be embraced by the shepherd? Surrender. As the shepherd approached the sheep, what if it had run? It would have never been saved. If we are going to be sought after and be saved, it's going to be because you surrender to the great shepherd. Thirdly, Jesus celebrates the lost that is found. Look with me now, if you will, in verse 6. And when He cometh home, He calleth together His friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with Me, for I have found, watch this, underline this, write this down, My sheep. God didn't send Michael, the archangel, but He sent His only begotten Son to save us. So Jesus says, My sheep, which was lost. And I say unto you that the likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Not only does He seek, but He saves, and after that, He celebrates. I want to give you a little story, and we're going to close this morning. My little brother Johnny, he got a baby doll that Christmas. I won't tell you what I got under the tree that night. I got me an Etch-A-Sketch. How many of y'all know what an Etch-A-Sketch is? Throw your hands up like you don't care. Amen. There you go. You know what you could do with an Etch-A-Sketch. Now, listen now. It wasn't the small black and white box TV. This was a plasma flat screen. Now, they didn't have them then, but, you know, if there were one, I had the plasma HD flat screen mounted on the wall at the gate. You know what you could do? You could take those two little white knobs that sat down in each corner, and you could turn them every which way you wanted. And what it would do is, by your diligence, you could take and design anything you wanted to in that little box. And boy, was I a happy cat. Let me tell you what the difference is this morning. I was able to make something great out of my gift. Johnny, on the other hand, was not. You know what the difference was? It was the gift that was given. You know something this morning? we can walk out of here, or we can take just a minute and we can examine our gift that we have for the birthday boy this month. And instead of giving him a baby doll that he can't do anything with, why don't we offer ourselves up like an etch-a-sketch, where Jesus Christ can take the knobs of our life and draw and design at his time and diligence whatever he so pleases. Because after all, we are his. Every head bowed, eyes closed. We're going to have just a moment of invitation, and I want you to pray with me this morning. You know, it's difficult this morning to buy or give someone who has everything. But you know, I've come to terms to believe something this week. If Jesus Christ don't have you this morning, he don't have everything. And I believe in this Christmas, 2009, we all go and buy and purchase gifts early and we wrap them and put them under the tree. But I don't know no reason in the world right now why you cannot walk out from your pew and make sure that the very soul thing that he desires above heaven and earth is your heart. So not only can he save you, but he can celebrate you. And that you and God together can overcome anything that will come in your path. And you will realize a love and peace because he was able to celebrate that sheep because he had put in a lot of hard work, care, concern, and conducted himself all the way to Calvary's cross because of him. And this morning, what better way to give to someone who has everything, our everything? Father, this morning, I'm thankful and grateful that we live in a time of grace. Lord, I know that day and that time will run out maybe sooner than we believe. But God, if you spoke to just one heart this morning, just one, God, I pray this morning. Because, Lord, I've already seen in your word through the parable that you will leave all of the others who are just and doing fine and go after the one who needs you the most. Father, may they come this morning as you've been seeking after them until you find them. God, this morning we know that it takes full surrender for them to be saved. God, I pray now, whatever be the need in our people's lives, God, you'll meet them this morning through full surrender. In Jesus' name I pray. As we sing, won't you? Well, if God spoke to your heart, if not, I want you to sing out this morning to Hosanna. God's house, God's people, we have nothing to be ashamed of. Sing it like we mean it this morning, church. Come on, this is God's house. Sing out. Thank you. thankful and grateful, God, for those who have come this morning. God, it tells me that You, the Father, the Son, but also the Holy Spirit, the most least talked about, the most least loved by many. God, this morning, that the Holy Spirit of God still draws man. God, because we've lifted up Your name and You promised that You would draw man nigh unto You. God, I pray this morning for the unsettled hearts, those who chose not to leave their pew for whatever reason. God, You know their hearts. God, I pray that You would work in their hearts. God, I pray for the lost people. God, I would rather pray a prayer today of deliverance for them to walk out into eternal darkness without You and suffer agony forever. But God, I pray this morning in this sanctuary, God, that You would reach out and that You would touch our people, our brethren in the neighborhoods and communities, and Lord, in our families, God, this morning, that You would touch their hearts, that You would save their souls. And God, I just pray this morning, God, that Your Holy Spirit would convict them, Lord, that they may not rest well and they may not eat well, God, and until they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I pray this morning, not only on their behalf, but on our behalf as a church. But God, it is up to us, God. You have instituted this church, and God, You have designed it, Lord, to follow after You as disciples. And God, I pray that You would help us this morning, Lord, to go out and seek after and help save and win the lost. But God, this morning we realize above any perfect prayer or any passage of Scripture, what will reach those people who are dying and on their way to hell.